Okay, so after posting the title of this year and discussing the topic, I came up with a much catchier title. Drawing upon the years of my youth when I used to dabble in Sesame Street and realized that one of these mythos is like all the others is exactly what I'm trying to talk about. I don't even remember what the title was when I posted it online, but I'm here to discuss a specific topic within this parsha. This parsha has a very special place in my heart, being that it's my bar mitzvah parsha, Parsha Shlach. And it's also the first time that B'nai Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, even though the first time doesn't necessarily go as planned. There's something to be said about this experience, kind of in a vacuum. And as we'll discuss, there's kind of a string of different events or mitzvot, situations that are talked about in this week's parsha that on the surface seem to not connect one to the other whatsoever. And you'll notice throughout the Torah, while there are times where one topic leads into another without necessarily a clear-cut connection, often the commentaries ask when two events or two commandments are placed one next to the other in the Torah, why is this so? Actually, the most recent is, there are a couple that I can think of that happened recently. One is the end of last week's parsha and the beginning of this week's parsha. Last week's parsha ends with Miriam getting tzaras, and this week's parsha begins with the Meraglim. And Rashi asks, I believe quoting a Medrash, why is the end of last week's parsha put next to the beginning of this week's parsha? If you read it, it's one event leading right into the next. And famously, the answer is that the problem or the downfall of the spies in that they ended up speaking badly about Eretz Yisrael and causing such great destruction, really, to the Jewish people for the period of 40 years, is that they saw and observed the events that took place to Miriam, someone who spoke badly about her brother Moshe and ended up getting tzaraat, leprosy, and removed from the Jewish community for 7 days. And the Midrash says, Himra'u v'lo lachu moser, and they didn't internalize the message of not to speak badly about someone or something else. And they went and did the same thing, and that was their downfall. So there's clearly where Chazal were looking for a reason why things are placed one after the other or in a group. There's the reason. There's another one that the Gemara talks about by why the Parsha of Nazir and comes right after Parsha of Sota a few weeks ago. And and Chazal say there that if you witness one who witnessed the whole events about the Isha Sota and having to drink this bitter water with God's name in it and what would happen to her if she was in fact guilty of adultery, one would become a Nazir as a result. And there's the connection. Anyways, I wanted to point out the connection between some of these mitzvot. This is an idea that I saw in the name of Moshe Lichtman. He has a couple of famous svarim that are known mainly in Eretz Yisrael, but also elsewhere. First of all, there's a sefer written by Rav Teich Tal, who was a Munkacher chassid who perished in the Holocaust, and he wrote a sefer at the end of his life called Im HaBanim Smecha, before he was killed, about the importance of living in the land of Israel. And Rav Moshe Lichtman, who's still alive, he translated that book into English. So anytime you see an English book, Im HaBanim Smecha, that's Rav Moshe Lichtman. He also wrote a sefer called Eretz Yisrael and the Parsha. As you can see, he's a fan of Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a sefer that connects every single Parsha in the Torah, finds a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Beautiful. So he notices that this parsha has something unique going on in it, this is his idea. And I quoted him on the other side of the page. You'll see the first six sources are numbered 1 through 6. The rest I kind of stopped using numbers. these are the basically the six topics, and I kind of took the most important line of that event that take place in this week's parsha. You'll see there that one is the Meraglim, Vayotziu Dibat Haaretz Asher Taru Ota El Bnei Israel. They spoke badly. They brought to light the, I don't know, the dubious parts of the land that they went to go spy on, and they said these to the rest of the Jewish nation. And they said, Haaretz Asher Avarnu Ba Latur Ota Eretz Ochelet Yoshvehi. They said that it consumes its inhabitants, etc., etc. That is the situation regarding the Meraglim. Went into Eretz Yisrael before they were going to enter, and they ended up speaking badly and getting a hefty punishment as a result. Number two is entering Israel. Right after that event, it's kind of a lesser-known event. This is right after God decides that the Jews are going to wander for 40 more years before entering Eretz Yisrael, and that everyone involved in the sin, both the spies themselves and the Jewish nation who cried and who believed the spies and took their side, will die in the desert, and only the next generation will enter Eretz Yisrael. A very small event takes place where there are Jews that realized how badly they messed up, and they wanted to kind of undo it. And they went to Moshe and they said, forget it, we messed up, we're sorry, let's go in and conquer Eretz Yisrael. We'll do it. Let's go in right now. Kind of trying to deny the fact that they just got a hefty punishment and they messed up. And Moshe said, don't do it. God's not with you right now, and you're clearly going to lose. And guess what? They didn't listen to Moshe. They went into Eretz Yisrael, and they were destroyed instantly by the nations that were living there. That is number two. Number three, there's this next, also kind of random, again, upon a superficial analysis of the sequence of events, it's kind of random. God commands, when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you should give karbanos when you get in there, when you're a nation and you finally enter Eretz Yisrael. Now, one could say this is quite an ironic sequence of events, because God just told them that these people will never enter Eretz Yisrael and only their children. And then there are people that tried to enter Eretz Yisrael and were consumed instantly by their enemies. And then the very next thing that takes place in the Torah is God saying, when you enter Eretz Yisrael, obviously referring to their kids, you should give karbanos. Interesting. Number four, hafrashas challah. This is whenever you bake bread. It's something that we still keep now on the level of derabanan, but it's a mitzvah deraisa, that whenever you make bread products, you should take off truma, you should take off a piece of it to give to the Kohen. Nowadays, since we don't do that to the full extent, because we don't really have the Kohanim in the right place that they're in, their service, so the custom is to burn it in the oven to show that you're not using it, you're taking a piece off. Again, it's when you get to Eretz Yisrael. When you eat lechem or you make it, tarimu truma lashem, give truma to God. Reshit arisos echem chala tarimu truma. Fine. The next story is Chilul Shabbos. This is referring to someone who they found was collecting sticks of wood in the desert on Shabbos. And they brought him, the people that found them, to Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe said, let's see what God says. And God says this man should be killed, because he violated the Shabbos rules, and the entire nation stoned this person to death, and that is the end of the story. Again, random. What's the message? Is the message that you're not supposed to violate the laws of Shabbos? We were taught this. You know, we weren't taught by example, but we were taught this. Interesting. And the last parsha, which is probably the most famous part of this week's parsha, at least the text itself, is the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema. And the mitzvah located in this paragraph of Kriyat Shema is tzitzit. This is the first time we're commanded to wear tzitzit. All four-cornered garments should have strings with tchelet, psil tchelet as well. Fine. And it also mentions that you should see it and also remember uzchartem et kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam, and do all the mitzvos. etc. And it ends, I quoted the last pasuk there in the end of 6, I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim to be your God. That is the end of the parsha. 6 events, maybe some have to do one with the other more in terms of the historical sequence, like the first 2 obviously relate to each other, but then these random commandments, hard to understand why they fit one after the other. Now, I will get back to connecting these, but first we need to discuss one important thing regarding source number 6, regarding tzitzit. Rashi says 2 very interesting things about tzitzit, and this is kind of where this entire conversation develops. Rashi, this is the right under where we read source number 6, you'll see Rashi, Bamidbar, Tesvav, Pasuk Lamed, Tes, Uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. He is pointing out that the Torah, which doesn't often explain why you should do something or what you should be thinking or anything beyond strictly the basics of what you should be doing, try and think in your mind of the way other mitzvot are commanded to us, you'll notice that the vast majority of mitzvot in the Torah simply describe on a very basic way what you should do, and that's it, and then it moves on. Think of the 10 Commandments, best example possible. Kaved et avicha, that's the only one that's not a good example because it tells you what the reward will be. But zechor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho, do it. Doesn't say why, does say ki sheish yomim. But very rarely, trust me, very rarely does this happen, except for the 2 examples that I tried to give, right? Lo tignov, should have just gone for the 2-word ones, right? Don't do it. Doesn't say because it's bad, or because if you do it, you'll end up creating an immoral society, right? We could think to ourselves why it is. We actually won't know why God actually commanded us this way, but we have a moral compass and we understand. But the Torah doesn't bother to discuss why. Here, when we're wearing tzitzit, it says you should look at them and remember all the mitzvot that God commanded and do them. Which is maybe part of how to do the mitzvah, but it's very clear that if you just do the wearing tzitzis part and you don't do the remembering all the mitzvot part, you still got the mitzvah. So there's the second step here that seems unique in the way it is placed in the Torah as opposed to many other mitzvot. So Rashi, being that his job as a commentator on the Torah is to figure out what the plain meaning of the text is and why things that show up less often are there, he explains, Sheminyan gematria shel tzitzit sheishmeot, that the numeric value, according to the gematria system of tzitzis, is 600. Tes is tough, is 400. Yud and Yud, 10 each is 20. And Tzadi Tzadi is 90 each, 180. 180 plus 20, 200 plus 400 is 600. Ushmone chutim v'chamisha ksharim hare taryag. And there are 8 strings on each corner and 5 knots on each corner. 8 plus 5 equals 13. You have the numerical value of the word plus the 8 strings plus the 5 knots and you have 613. And he seems to say that this is how tzitzis is a way that we remember how to do all the mitzvot. What's his problem? His problem is, since when do a bunch of strings on a corner of a garment remind me of all the mitzvot? It's a good question, he asks. He just doesn't say it. And his answer is, oh, there's this numerical value. Interesting. There's another answer, by the way, that the Gemara gives to how tzitzis reminds us, or actually how tcheles specifically reminds us to do the mitzvot. So I'll come back to that later, unless any of you know it right now. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'll come back to that later, Be'ezrat Hashem, if I remember. Then, he quotes in 2 psukim later, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, he quotes someone named Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. He says, Lama nismecha parshas mekoshesh leparshas avodah zarah. Here is what he does again. What is the reason to juxtapose the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the person who was caught collecting wood on Shabbos, to the Parsha of Avodah Zarah. Lomar Shehamechal Es HaShabbos. By the way, Avodah Zarah is talking about right after Challah. In the Parsha of Challah, it talks about not doing Avodah Zarah, and there's a Medrash that talks about doing Hafreshes Challah will prevent you from doing Avodah Zarah. Okay? And therefore, the Medrash asks, why is the Parsha of Mekoshesh Eitzim next to the Parsha of doing Avodah Zarah? Lo Marsha Mechal Es HaShabbos Ke'oved Avodah Zarah. That someone who is Mechal the Shabbos, like the person who was gathering sticks on Shabbos, it's as if he's worshipping idols. She'af hi shekula kechol ha-mitzvos. Because it. Now, what is it referring to? Af hi. She. Shabbat? Is that? Would anyone give a different answer? I agree. That's what I would say also. There's only one other answer, possible answer, what that's talking about. Avodah Zarah, right? That if you're Mechal the Shabbos, it's as if you're Ovid Avodah Zarah. Now, why would one equal all the mitzvos matter in this? I guess because Avodah Zarah is such a big deal, why would being Mechal Shabbos equal worshipping an idol? So the answer is, like you said, because Shabbos is actually, keeping Shabbos is like keeping all the mitzvos. It's equal to keeping all the mitzvos. And therefore, it's to violate it is just as severe as worshipping idols. The assumption being that worshipping idols, I guess, is equal to violating all the mitzvos. Sounds like there has to be that assumption made as well. It's important to always, these things sound right, but it's important to try and really understand what they're getting at. V'chein hu omer be'ezra, and that's why, and he also says in Ezra, in Nevi'im, v'al har Sinai yaradata v'titin l'amcha Torah mitzvos yas ha-shabbos kadshcha odata lehem. Right, in that pasuk it says that God came down from our, and on Har Sinai, He came down and He gave to your nation the Torah and the mitzvos and Shabbos. As if Shabbos is equal to the Torah and mitzvos. V'af, and here's where I underlined. And so too, Parshas Tzitzis, Lekach Nismecha Le'elu. Right? If you see the sequence of events, we got four, Hafreshes Challah, which is meant to prevent us from Avodah Zarah when we're in Eretz Yisrael, followed by five, Chil Shabbos, which, as Rashi points out in the name of Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan, that if you are Mechal Shabbos, it's as if it's the equal to the severity of worshipping idols, which is like violating all the mitzvot, because Shabbos is equal to doing all the mitzvot. And then right after that comes six, which is Tzitzit. Why does Tzitzit come right after all of that? Because She'af hi shekula keneged kol mitzvos. Because Tzitzit is also equal to all of the mitzvos. Shene emar va'asitem es kol mitzvosai. Now that's taken out of context, va'asitem es kol mitzvosai, because what the pasuk says is that you should see them and remember to do the mitzvos and do them. Does that mean that doing tzitzis is like doing the mitzvos? Now, this idea, focusing on this point of Rashi, it's okay. There's a source sheet right there as you walk in. This idea is strange. Maybe it's just my opinion, but it's strange. And I'm not even referring to which specific mitzvah. I'm just referring to the topic in general, and then we could go through whichever one we want to talk about. The idea that there's one mitzvah that equals all the other mitzvot. Does anyone agree with me? Or are you cool with it? Well, I think the question needs to be asked, how are we to understand what this means? Now, it on along the same lines of how we've been analyzing this Rashi, we need to be very exact in how he chose to word this. It says, she'af hi shekula, which means equal, it's measured, keneged kol ha-mitzvos. Keneged is like as if, it's equal to, all the mitzvos. Does that mean it's as if you did all the mitzvos? It's equal in terms of its importance, in terms of the amount of reward you get? If you did 612 mitzvos, and you put all the reward on one side, and then you did tzitzis, does that scale equal out? I'm wondering, is that what it could mean? Now, I'm not saying it's not what it means, but if it is what it means, it seems like a bit of a stretch, because one of the mitzvos is like Torah. One of the mitzvos is reproducing, which is one of the most important mitzvos. And, you know, like, how do we understand this concept? There's also an important concept which kind of directly contradicts this, which is found in Pirkei Avos, that we should not ever attempt to evaluate which mitzvos are more important than other mitzvos and only do the more important ones, right? We should always think of paying as much attention to the less important mitzvos just as much as the more important mitzvos. And therefore, there shouldn't be such thing as I keep these, but I don't keep those. There should always be a feeling of I need to keep it all. To point out, that doesn't mean if someone is actively not keeping some of them that they lose the whole thing. But the way we consider observing mitzvot should be that there is no one mitzvah that is more important and therefore should be done over other mitzvahs, at the expense of other mitzvahs. And that flies right in the face of this concept, which is there are some mitzvahs that are not only more important, but they're so important that they equal, in some way, all of the other mitzvot. And not only that, there isn't just one of these. We already, in this one Rashi, pointed out that there are two, at least, right? We have tzitzis and we have Shabbos. Does that mean Shabbos equals tzitzis? It's hard to understand what exactly this is trying to get at. And I think it's important to understand if there are two of them, and we'll see there are actually several more, is there a connection between the two? Is there some common denominator why these mitzvot are keneged kol all the other mitzvot, and there are other mitzvot that this idea is not said by those mitzvot? Does that mean they truly are more important? Now, I'm not necessarily going to be able to answer all of these questions, but I think it's important to first analyze where this idea comes up and try and find a way or several approaches to what this is possibly referring to. Now, I want you maybe to quickly turn to the other to the other side of the page and look at the English paragraph where I quoted Rav Moshe Lichtman on this week's Parsha, and he points out something very interesting. I'm speaking about this now because this kind of helps us understand why this is the focus of the shiur, and then we'll go about trying to understand what this idea of a mitzvah equaling other mitzvahs means. He says, allow me to take this one step further. He's referring to the Rashi that we just discussed, where there's a connection between Shabbos and tzitzis because they are, as Rashi quoted, equal to all the other mitzvot. In my humble opinion, the entire parsha, not just the last three sections that we just read in Rashi, is interlinked by this idea, the idea being that there is one mitzvah that equal to all other mitzvahs. What did the first half of the parsha discuss? The sin of the spies, the libations, which is referring to the karbanot and the different offerings that we give in Eretz Yisrael, and challah. Now, just as idolatry, the Shabbos and tzitzis, are equal to all the mitzvos of the Torah, so is dwelling in the land of Israel, the mitzvah that the spies convinced the Jews to reject. This is true, and we'll see it in the sources soon. We already demonstrated above that the section discussing the libations, the karbanot, the offerings, is placed immediately after the sin of the meraglim, the spies, because it starts with the words, Ki tavo el eretz moshevotechem asher ani noten lachem, when you shall come to the land of your inhabitants, etc. There's a connection there because we just finished the section of the spies and seeing the whole tumult and the chaos regarding entering Israel. And right after that, it seemed appropriate, whether it's ironic or not, however you view it, to talk about a mitzvah of something to do when you get into Eretz Israel. Hashem wanted to reassure the Jews. See, he explains it in a completely different way. Not ironic at all, but more of a comforting way. He wanted to reassure the Jews that despite their sins, they would eventually enter the promised land, and there would be commandments for them to do that make it that are unique. Similarly, I believe that this also explains why the mitzvah of challah is located where it is, for it too begins with the words Bevoachem el haaretz asher ani mevi etchem shama, when you enter the land that I bring you. Thus, one could say that Parshas Shlach is one of the most important parshios in all of the Torah. After all, which other parsha revolves around so many mitzvahs that are equal to all the rest? So he basically points out that all six events that take place or sections of this week's parsha revolve in some way around a mitzvah that is considered to be equal to all other mitzvot. And he specifically points out the first three and four even to all revolve around the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael, which, as we will see shortly, is one of the mitzvot that Chazal say are equal to all other mitzvot. So, and I think he has a good point, that there seems to be a theme here. There seems to be some sort of emphasis on these all-important mitzvot. Let's see the next source. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sources up from the bottom. Sorry, I didn't number them. It's the very next one after Rashi, called the Sifri in Parshas Re'eh. On the first page, back on the first page. And this is referring to what Rav Lichtman mentioned about the importance of the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael. V'yarashta osam v'yashavta. This is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbi Masiyah ben Charash v'Rabbi Hananiah ben Achi v'Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbi Yonasan. Shehayu yotzim chutz la'aretz. These are all Rabbanim that lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they were leaving Eretz Yisrael. V'higiu l'paltom. And I don't exactly know how to translate that, but I guess it's to some sort of monument or borderline where it's clear that they were leaving Eretz Yisrael. V'zachru es Eretz Yisrael. Or this was actually after they left the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And they remembered Eretz Yisrael. Zakvu einayim, v'zolgu dimoseim. They got emotional. They began to cry. Their eyes teared up. V'karu bigdayim, and they tore their clothes. V'karu esam mikra azeh, and they read this pasuk out loud. V'yarashtem osav yishavtem ba. And you should inherit it, and you should settle it. U'shmartem la'asos es kol ha'chukim ha'eleh. And you should keep, in order to fulfill all of these mitzvos, which is the next words of this pasuk that this Medrash is talking about. Amru, they said, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, Shekula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos Shebetorah. They declared at that moment, settling Eretz Yisrael, based on the pasuk that they read out loud, is equal in some way to all of the mitzvos of the Torah. Based on the pasuk that says, you should settle it, and do all of the mitzvos, as if one immediately relates to or equals all of the others. Now, there are several other of these statements made by Chazal, and we could just go through them quickly to understand. Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, this is another midrashic type of writing. Rabbi Akiva Omer Gedola Hi HaShabbos. Shabbos is so huge, literally. Shabbat Torah ubenaviyim uksuvim hishkula keneged kol mitzvos. There are psukim from Torah and Neviim and ksuvim, each of them seeming to indicate that Shabbos is equal in some way to all of the mitzvos. I didn't quote the rest of the paragraph, which points out psukim in each of the three sections of Tanakh that seem to indicate this point. The Chai Adam, a halachic work, drawing upon earlier sources, says in Chelek Aleph Klal Yud Tzif Hei, Talmud Torah Shekul Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Learning Torah is something that is equal to all of the mitzvos. Tosefta Maseches Nedarim, the next source, Perek Beis, a Tosefta, which is quoted in several different Gemaras, including in Yerushalmi. Davar Acher Gdola Mila Sheshkula Geneged Kol HaMitzvos. The mitzvah of circumcision is equal to all the other mitzvot Shevatorah, Shenemar Hein Dam HaBris Asher Karis Hashem. The Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael, another medrash, Ubnei Mak Hiktim Lekichaso Shel Pesach Leshchitaso Dal Yamim. Why were we commanded to take the Karban Pesach and hold it for 4 days before doing the sacrifice itself? Lefi Shehayu Yisrael Shtufin B'Avodah Zarah, they were steeped in the world of Avodah Zarah, B'Mitzrayim, in Egypt, V'Avodah Zarah, Shkula, Keneged Kol HaMitzos. Here's a proof to what Rashi was saying. Violating the law to stay away from doing Avodah Zarah is equal in importance to all the mitzvos, meaning if one violated it, it's as if one violated all the mitzvos, so to speak. Another idea. Talmud Bavli, the next side of the page. Kedushin, Mem, Amen, Aleph, and Beis. Sorry, before I get to that. Here we see, we saw in this week's parsha, we see three. Eretz Yisrael, Tzitzis, and Shabbos. We pointed out that there is a medrash that says Talmud Torah in the name of Rabbi Kiva. There's a medrash that says Avodah Zarah is equal in severity to violating all the mitzvos. We see that Bris Milah is equal to all the mitzvos. And there are even others. There is medrash that says that Paraduma, the mitzvah of Paraduma, is Shkul Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Gemilas Chasadim, says other sources. Shalom, bringing peace into the world, Keneged all of the mitzvos. So what's the idea here? Is this just, this phrase that's thrown around that kind of dumbs down the importance of it? Is it saying it's crazy awesome? It's an equal value of saying Shabbos is crazy awesome? Is that the point? Right? It's stupid important. I think in several neighborhoods around the world, they would say something like that. It's a big deal. Kind of a big deal. Is this a figure of speech? Or is there some practical element here that should require us to think about this in a completely different way? Do you guys have any suggestions? Are you leaning one way or the other before I make some suggestions?
Maybe it could be categorizations. I mean, if we were to put mitzvahs under headings, then maybe each Shabbos could be one title specifically involving a certain section of mitzvahs, etc.
Uh-huh.
Could maybe refer to said section?
That would make lots of sense. Now, the only issue is maybe it would make more sense to say it's equal in importance to that section of mitzvos,
right,
as opposed to all of the mitzvos. I agree. It seems like this encompasses that the phrase, if you try and visualize what the phrase means, right? You do the scale or however you want to do it, you're putting Shabbos on one end and lots of other mitzvos on another, and seeing them equal in some way. And the idea being that either it's superior or it's ahead, where others are derived from it or come from it. There's a famous idea I gave a shiur, I believe, last year on the Aseres HaDibros. Several sources mentioned, they ask, what's the point of Aseres HaDibros? This also flies directly in the face of the idea that no mitzvah is more important than the other. The Rambam actually paskins lahalacha that we should not stand during the reading of the Aseres HaDibros in shul, because it would seem to indicate that this piece of Torah is more important, or these mitzvot being discussed in the Aseres HaDibros are more important than other mitzvot. But it's not the case, in which case we shouldn't try and make it that way. In which case, what's the point? And there is an idea, I believe Rav Sadia Gaon points it out as well as others, that from the Aseres HaDibros you can derive all 613. That they are in some way categories that you can draw upon to kind of set into place all the other mitzvot that end up being found in the Torah. Now, is this the same idea? And it could be, although it seems a bit more random. It seems like there you know, if this is the case, then maybe Chazal should have mentioned this straight away. Here are certain mitzvot that are connected, certain individual mitzvot that are equal in some way to all the other mitzvot. It doesn't seem to categorize them. It also puts them all in the same label. It doesn't say in what way. Is tzitzis the exact same thing as Shabbos because they're connected kol mitzvos? Is Eretz Yisrael the exact same thing? Does that mean Eretz Yisrael is equal to tzitzis? Right? It seems a bit ambiguous or undefined. Yes?
When they say, loving another as yourself is equal to all the mitzvos, maybe it's sort of like that, where just the concept is something that's covered, like it's a general concept that might apply to lots of the mitzvot. Concepts of Shabbos, all the other mitzvahs cover that concept, but Shabbos is general. It like has a lot of ideas that the other mitzvahs encompass.
The idea of Shabbos.
Maybe
meaning
Shabbos.
To say, if I'm understanding you correctly, this statement is to be understood in the realm of theory and not in practice.
Maybe.
Meaning if I did Shabbos, if I fulfilled if I kept the Shabbos by doing the positive commandments and the negative commandments, I did not do all of the other mitzvos. That's not the point. But the ideas associated or found in the mitzvah of Shabbos, from them or within them, many other mitzvos. You did say many, you didn't say all.
Right.
It's a bit of a stretch. It's all of the other mitzvos, including divorce, including, I don't know, giving maaser to Levim, including if you touch a dead body, I don't, right? It's a bit of an it's a bit of a stretch. But I think you're right. I think you're on to something. That maybe it's too much of a stretch to think that doing them, it's not in the realm of action, where if I do this, it's as if I did 613 different things at one time. Which again, by the way, it's actually impossible for any one Jew to do all 613 mitzvahs. For example, a Kohen is not allowed to marry, someone who's divorced is not allowed to marry a Kohen. A woman who's divorced is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Someone who's a Kohen, let me think about this. It's a mitzvah for a Kohen to do Birkas Kohanim, which is something that non-Kohanim can never do. Right? So there's no way to actually do all 613 mitzvahs. But for this to claim that it's as if you did all of them seems a bit of a stretch. So I wanted to bring several sources and ideas as suggestions. I didn't think this the whole way through. It could be if I spent more time on this, there would be more that I could bring to light that could suggest or give more refined thoughts. But here are some suggestions. Now, there's Gemara in Menachos, an important Gemara, that talks about this exact idea regarding tzitzis. It's the second source. I'm going to skip the first source for now. It's the second source on the back page. Tanya idach, ur isem oso is chartem kol mitzvos Hashem. This is exactly the line that Rashi points out is strange. By wearing tzitzis, you'll look at them and you'll remember all of the mitzvos. Kevan sheneschayev Adam b'mitzvah zu neschay b'chol mitzvahs kulan. This is a strange idea. Because we are obligated, man is obligated in this mitzvah, we are obligated in all of the other mitzvahs. Is that true? Meaning they're trying to understand what it means that by looking at this mitzvah, at the tzitzis that you're wearing, you will remember all the mitzvahs Hashem. We remember that Rashi pointed out the gematria idea, that the numerical value equals 613. We're looking for other options. The Gemara points out, since we're obligated in this one mitzvah, we are obligated in all the other ones. Unclear what that means. The Amar mitzvah zaseisha is man grama. Fine. Tanya idach. Here's another way of understanding it. Risem osos chartem is kol mitzvahs Hashem. Shekula mitzvah zu keneged kol mitzvahs kulan. Uh-oh, that's exactly what we're trying to figure out. V'tanya idach, let's keep going. Orisem osos chartem v'asisem. Here's what I wanted to point out. Re'iya mivia lidei zechira. Looking at them will bring you to remembering them. Looking at the tzitzis will bring you to a state of remembering the mitzvos, which is what the Torah itself points out, zechartem. Zechira mivia lidei masa. And remembering them will bring you to a state of doing them. Now, there seems to be only slightly a more in-depth version of what the pasuk actually says. The pasuk just says, you'll wear them, and then you'll look at them, and then you'll do them. And what this understanding within the Gemara is pointing out is that one almost naturally, seemingly naturally, leads to the other. Therefore, by putting on tzitzis during the day, you will inevitably look at them. And when you look at them, you will inevitably, naturally, come to remember in some way that you are obligated in all the mitzvot. And once you remember that you're obligated in all the mitzvot, you will naturally come to do all the mitzvot. Now, think about this. Even though, again, it could be that we could have figured that out on our own, and we didn't need the Gemara to say this, but it illuminated this idea for us. Think about how to apply that idea to the phrase shekula keneged kol mitzvos. What does it mean that it's equal to all the mitzvos? Maybe in this specific case of tzitzis, it's not that it automatically equals it, but some element within the mitzvah itself brings you to doing all the mitzvot. Do you see how it can't be taken literally? Because if it's literally, then it's instantaneous, that it equals one, the other. But it's more of, by doing this one mitzvah, it will set off a series of thought processes in your head that will lead you to be observant in all of the mitzvos. And therefore we could say, since we see the point A, which is wearing tzitzis, and the point B of doing all 613 mitzvos, then we could say, well, point A equals point B, because one naturally leads to the other. That is one, clearly. And we don't need to look further than the Gemara itself, one way to understand, at least in terms of tzitzis itself, because this doesn't answer the other ones. It doesn't answer bris milah. I don't want to get into details about how to apply this to bris milah. Also, the Torah doesn't say urisem oso vasisem by the other mitzvot. It just says it's by tzitzis. So maybe this method, or this reason why we would consider it shekula keneged kol mitzvos, only applies in this one case. To end the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Kol Hazarz b'mitzvah zu, anyone who is diligent, who does this mitzvah of tzitzis quickly, passionately, Zoche u'mekabel p'nei ha-shechina, he merits to receive the p'nei ha-shechina. It's also an ambiguous phrase in and of itself. It seems that he merits some sort of close connection to God, to being in the presence of God. Fine. So there's one derech. Can we apply this to other mitzvos? Would observing Shabbos lead one to think of all the other mitzvos? I don't know. It seems like there's something unique about tzitzis, which Rashi mentioned, that it leads you to think about, oh, why are there so many strings? There are 8 strings. What about the word tzitzis? 600. 600, 5 knots, 613. Oh, this tzitzis is about all the mitzvos. You know what? I should really get on that. Let's do all the mitzvos. Poof. 613 mitzvos. Thanks, tzitzis. That doesn't necessarily apply to the other ones. So it could be that there isn't one common denominator, and there are different qualities found in each one that lead Chazal to this conclusion. I want to suggest 2 other ideas found in classic sources. The Ramban, referring to, is actually within a very interesting discussion. The Ramban takes on the controversial topic of how many claim that the avos, that the forefathers, as well as their children, meaning the Jewish people before they even entered Mitzrayim, or definitely before they left Mitzrayim, observed the entire Torah. They kept all the mitzvos. Now, there's obviously many different philosophical, practical issues with this. Number one, there was no Torah, so how could they have observed the Torah before it existed in this world? How did they know what to do? Maybe they would have been able to do it had they known, but how do they possibly know? Right? Number two, what does it mean to do the mitzvahs before being commanded? The whole concept of a mitzvah is that we're commanded to do it. Anyways, he grapples with this idea, and in the middle of the idea, he tries to give one possible understanding for what it means. And rightfully so, he's looking for beyond the basic understanding of that they actually did the actions, the observances. Maybe there's some, in the metaphorical sense, things that they did that were equal to doing all of the Torah. And that's how this relates to our topic. The Ramban in Bereishis Chavav mentions the following point. Ubi Yosef, when it comes to Yosef, this is a medrash in Bereishis. It says, Shahaya Meshamer es HaShabbos Afilu B'Mitzrayim. That Yosef kept Shabbos even in Mitzrayim. Mipnei Shehi Shekula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Because it was equal to all the mitzvahs, a phrase we're now familiar with. What does that mean, though? Now, think about how he's using this phrase. Again, this is the Medrash. He's using this to try and prove his point about ways of understanding how the Avos observed all the mitzvahs. And here, the Medrash says that Yosef kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim because it was equal to all the mitzvahs. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe they did specific things that through them, it was as if they did all the mitzvahs in this idea. Lefi, here's the underline. Shehi edus al chidush ha'olam. Rachel, this is your idea, I think. What is Shabbos? It is testimony to the creation of the world. Vehi ose kein lelamed es banav emunas brias ha'olam. Lehotzi milibam kavanas avodazara v'deus ha'mitzrim. And he kept Shabbos to teach his children belief, faith in the creation of the world, and to remove from their hearts any desires, any thoughts of idol worship, which obviously are in direct contrast to one creator, to monotheism, v'deos ha-mitzrim, and the values, the morals of the mitzrim, v'zos kavanasam. And this is, in the Ramban's point of view, the intention of Chazal when they said that the Avos kept all of the mitzvos. That really it's in terms of, and I'm using some poetic license here because he doesn't elaborate, but it's definitely what Rachel was saying, that the ideas that serve as the foundation for the mitzvah of Shabbos connect or equal somehow bring one to a level of understanding or appreciation or recognizing the importance of the need to observe all of the mitzvahs. And when it says that Yosef kept Shabbos, what mipnei shehi shekula keneged kol mitzvos, because it was equal to all the mitzvos. Why? What does that mean? That he kept Shabbos because the idea of Shabbos is the belief in one creator and the need to be subservient to one creator, to listen to what this one creator says, and to reject other lifestyles, specifically idol worship, but also he says v'deos ha-mitzrim, which seems to not refer to the religious lifestyle, but also the immoral values of the mitzrim, and to replace them with the moral and just values found in Judaism. And that's what it means, according to the Ramban, of keeping this one mitzvah that was equal to all the other mitzvahs, because it instills in one's heart the right value system and the right outlook that lays the foundation for all the other mitzvahs to have a good place in your life. And there are other mitzvahs where you can't say the same thing about that, where they don't connect to this general worldview that would bring you to appreciate and ultimately observe the other mitzvahs. Shaking a lulav and the four species, the lulav and esrog on sukkahs, does not necessarily bring me to this unbelievable understanding of the need to observe the entire Torah. Even though any one mitzvah can potentially open up your mind, open up your heart, I'm not going to exclude it definitely, but these, the ones that Chazal chose to label as equal to all the other mitzvahs, clearly have this power. Now, again, the Ramban was only referring to Shabbos. But he is also, similar to what we saw in the Gemara Menachos, saying that it's not equal in terms of value, it's not equal in terms of reward, it's not equal in terms of practice, but more in terms of putting someone in the framework, in the right frame of mind, to be open to incorporating the other mitzvot into their life. One last source, and then we'll finish. The Shlan Maseches Chulin points out the following. The Shla, called the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, says the following regarding Tzitzis. B'perek HaTcheles, he's referring to our Gemara, the one that we read above in Menachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Gedol HaMitzvos Tzitzis Sheshkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos, Shnei Amar, Urisem Osos Chardim Eskol Mitzvos Hashem. Tzitzis equals the other mitzvos because it says in the pasuk you should look at them and remember all the mitzvos. V'zeh lashon tur or chayim, and this is stated in the tur, one of the codified books of law that discusses practical living. Af al pisha ein adam chayiv liknos talis bas arba kanfos. Even though someone is not obligated to buy a four-cornered garment, it's important to understand this. Mitzvot tzitzis is interesting. Mitzvot tzitzis says, if you have a four-cornered garment, you must put fringes on them. Is it an obligation to wear a four-cornered garment? What's the answer? No. If you go your whole life never wearing a four-cornered garment, have you done anything wrong? Not even a little bit. God's not going to get up, you're not going to get up to God and be like, come on. Now at the same time, what does the Torah mention? Even though it's not an obligation to buy a talis, a four-cornered garment, and then put tzitzis on it, kadesh yischai b'tzitzis, so that you'll then be obligated. Eladavka imrotze lehischasus b'talis baz arba kanfos chayev lahato b'tzitzis. Only if you want to wear a four-cornered garment, which, by the way, was only in style, I can't say how many years, but there's a very finite amount of time where wearing a four-cornered garment on purpose was accepted and normal. It's interesting. Nowadays, you have to go out of your way to buy a weird-looking four-cornered thing that no one in a million years would ever put on their body. And that's why there are all these different Jewish companies trying to make undershirts that are four-cornered garments so that you won't look weird and that it won't be uncomfortable to wear another layer. These are guy problems, by the way. I'm sorry, girls who have no idea what we're talking about. And do the mesh stuff and jerseys that you just like cut enough that it's four-cornered, right? Still, mikol makom, tov v'nachon lios kol adam zahir v'zariz b'mitzvah tzitzis she yihye lo beged katan mitzuya she'ilbash eso kol ayom. Still, it is tov v'nachon, it is good and it is right for everyone to be careful and passionate and diligent in the midst of tzitzis, so that they will have a beged katan, a small pair, the smaller, not a talis, on their bodies, so that they will wear it all day. Ki ikar mitzvasash al zchiras hamitzvos, because the ikar, the most important point of wearing the tzitzis, is in order to remember all the mitzvos. Ubechol shav, ubechol rega tzarich l'kach, and you need to do this all day. Now, the truth is, I shouldn't have quoted the Shla because all he did was quote the Tur Or Chaim. That was in my haste. I didn't realize that. And so really the source that we're looking at is the Torah. And he's pointing out something. Now, this is obviously connected to our point, but the connection that I'm about to make is not found in the Torah. This is a unique, chiddush kind of an idea, so it might end up being wrong, and that will be my fault and no one else's fault. But this is what I'd like to say. Just like the Ramban pointed out, that the ideas found within Shabbos of the existence of one creator who is responsible for the creation of the world, and that is the foundation of us observing Shabbos. And once we incorporate that into our lifestyle and our general outlook of life, that I need to do something, I need to dedicate a day of my life to recognizing that there is one God and He is the creator of the world, that will naturally lead to the observance of all the mitzvot. Perhaps this same idea could be applied with tzitzis. Not just that I calculate the numerical value of tzitzis, and then I suddenly remember all the mitzvos. That's not really an emotional process. Whereas Shabbos, remembering what Shabbos is about, you're going through an emotional process that motivates you, that perhaps inspires you to want to do all the mitzvos. Perhaps the idea that tzitzis is not something I'm obligated to do. I could spend my whole life not doing it, not one problem in the world. But God says, how about be passionate about doing something that is up to you? That if you want to incorporate it into your life, I'm telling you, this is a way to do it. And it will ultimately lead to you doing all the mitzvot. Because you'll look at the tzitzis and you'll do it. How are you going to look at the tzitzis and remember all the mitzvos? Maybe through the act of deciding on your own, I'm going to put on tzitzis today. I'm going to go buy an awkward looking square or rectangle of a piece of cloth and I cut a hole in the middle and I put it on my head. And suddenly I'm required to put tzitzis on it so that I'll remember. And maybe the act of getting up and doing something on my own and being motivated to bring upon myself this obligation is something that we need to have spread to all the other mitzvos. Because if we leave mitzvos, the word being commandment, to the realm of, I'm just going to wait and do exactly what I'm obligated to do and nothing more, and I'm going to do the bare minimum, which is a heck of a lot, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to do the bare minimum and that's going to be my overall outlook on how to do this, it's likely that at some point, 613 might turn into 612. Might turn into 588, might turn into the ones that I care about more, the ones that I understand more logically. And then there's something nowadays called half Shabbos, like the parts of Shabbos that I'll do because it's socially acceptable to do that. If you haven't heard of the idea of half, there's an idea, it's an improperly placed thing because it's people who keep Shabbos but they use their phone because they have an addiction that they're not willing to accept outwardly. So they use their phone to text and to maybe call, but it's usually to text. And they call it half Shabbos, as if texting on Shabbos takes away half of your Shabbos, but whatever. Anyways, what ends up happening when someone says, well, what do I have to do again? Just tell me what I have to do. Now, I'm a teacher. I teach in this university as well as you guys, but formally for credits. And every teacher, especially nowadays, but I suspect it's been this way for a while, will hear anywhere between 1 and 700,000 times per semester, do I need to know this for the test, right? Will I be tested on this? Now, this is a natural instinct, and I understand it completely, because if someone is in a class, partially because they want to learn, but also partially because they're thinking, I need to get a good grade and get a degree out of this, so their motivation is split in half. One is this interesting or something that I could use in my life? And two is, can I succeed in this class? And if so, I need to figure out what I'm going to be tested on, right? Now, that outlook, though, will lead to someone automatically cutting away surgically the pieces of information that are not, they are not obligated to learn. And therefore, if I would start a class saying, guys or girls, whoever I'm teaching, none of what I'm teaching today will be on the test. The likelihood that anyone will, forget pay attention, forget even stay in the room, which might not happen, but listen and retain that information, the likelihood will drop immensely, because their motivation to retain that information has dropped. And therefore, perhaps the idea behind tzitzis is, drawing upon this tour, that this is a mitzvah that I'm not obligated to do until I obligate myself to do it. And it's different than every other mitzvah in that way, pretty much. Shabbos I gotta do. Seventh day comes, sun goes down, I'm in Shabbos. I can't get out of it. Tzitzis, I could go my whole life, I don't have to do one moment of tzitzis. But if I want to, and if I want to live in a world where I'm reminding myself that I have mitzvahs in my life and that I have an obligation and that there's a lifestyle that I'm supposed to create, then I should put on tzitzis today. Perhaps that's the idea. Perhaps. And we talk about Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's kind of laid out in a silver platter. Do you want to understand what it means to live a Jewish life? Live in a place where plowing is a mitzvah. Where working the land, we're doing mundane things. Right? The Gemara itself says it's better to be a someone who sweeps the streets in Eretz Yisrael than to be a, a Talmud Chacham in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because even sweeping the streets is a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. It's contributing to the development of the holiest land in the world and to helping Am Yisrael. The idea of, I want to live in a place where I'm surrounded by spirituality, well, yeah, that's the best way to put yourself in a situation to observe all the mitzvahs. Something that I've actually, since the end of the year for many students, and I teach in a seminary also a couple times a week, and they're ending this week, so there's a lot of going away messages, and this will end. I tell people a lot, and I feel very passionately about this, that success in anything, but definitely in the realm of spirituality, often is the result of putting yourself in a situation to succeed. Right? We kind of focus on the goal and figure out how to get to that goal in the most direct way possible without considering variables, without considering atmosphere, environment. We consider us as a point A and the goal as a point B. But that often is a faulty outlook for how to accomplish our goals. Because one of the most important things of success, of accomplishing what we want to do, is considering those variables, considering the outside influences we'll have, the things that aren't in our control necessarily until we're there and have to face them. And there is no such thing as doing life in a vacuum, where there are no external influences or external factors. It just doesn't exist. God didn't make us like that. And therefore, the best way to figure out how to get to the point B in your life, whatever that is actually to be in a position, considering all those outside elements, where getting to point B will be easiest. And I think this is one of the important ideas that I found in terms of shekula keneged kol mitzvos. What does it mean to have one mitzvah equal the other mitzvos? Perhaps it's doing this mitzvah puts us in a position to be successful in doing all of the other mitzvos. And that we can't just look at 613 and just try and compartmentalize and multitask and whatever it is we can do to just accomplish all of them, because it's not likely that we'll be successful in that way. We'll get tired, we'll get exhausted, we won't understand something as clearly, we won't have the tools that we need to succeed. So really, instead of trying to use it as a checklist where we try and check off 613, Chazal was saying, focus on the ones that allow you to be in the best possible position to accomplish many other ones, even all of the other ones. If I'm, like Shabbos, completely clear on who is the creator of the world, it will be much easier for me to accept even other mitzvos that I don't understand or don't appreciate as much, because I have solidified in my mind that there's a creator of the world who commanded me to do this, and I have to do it. It's maybe even easier to understand that concept taking that away. Imagine if I didn't have Shabbos clear in my head, if I didn't have the faith that God was one and that he created the world, how much harder would it be for me to fast on Yom Kippur or to do many mitzvos that are not easy or not understandable if I don't have that one down, that God commanded me to do this and that's why I have to do it regardless? I would even suggest to say it's almost impossible to get through the rest of them. The idea of tzitzis, of being motivated to take on an obligation because you feel it's right, because it's something that will allow you to do other mitzvos. That idea can be applied elsewhere, can be applied everywhere. That even when I'm obligated, how can I do it not just so that I'll get points on the test, but so that I can enhance my life, so that it'll put me in a better situation to succeed. Eretz Yisrael, like I said, the best example. What is the easiest way for me to succeed as a Jew? Be in an environment where even the Coca-Cola billboards say Chag Sameach. Right, where even the cab driver will give you Dvar Torah. Where the radio station will have people doing Mishnah Yomi or things like that. Right? Where it will be actually harder to not observe certain mitzvos, many mitzvos, than to observe them. There's actually positive peer pressure in many places. It's not perfect here yet. We're not in Geula mode yet. But it will be positive peer pressure to be spiritual, to be religious, as opposed to the opposite. So hopefully, I think that this is a unique idea. If anything, it's just an important idea in general. And maybe this is what the Torah is trying to mention. And this parsha kind of gives me a whole new perspective on what the connection between these mitzvos are, what the message this parsha is perhaps trying to tell us, that there are certain things that if you mess it up, unfortunately, it could have a very negative impact on everything else. And on the flip side, if you properly appreciate what these mitzvos have to offer and what the message is hidden within these mitzvos, it will put you on a path of success in allowing you to observe all the other mitzvos. Perhaps this was the major mistake of the Meraglim, one that cost them ultimately their lives, but the chance to fulfill the mission that God put them on from the beginning is that they didn't see this as something that could open up their entire world. They saw it as a challenge, as something they didn't fully understand, they were scared of. And God was saying, if you understood what's behind this, what's the idea behind living in Israel, which is surrounding yourself in spirituality, everything else would become clear, would become easier. Your path to success would be paved for you. And they missed out on that opportunity. So hopefully we will learn from that mistake, but we'll also learn from these specific mitzvos and incorporate them into our lives, allow them to penetrate our thoughts, our feelings, and allow us to be the most successful version of ourselves, spiritually speaking, that we can. Good Shabbos.